my goodness. Woo, woo, woo. I worship Jesus. I worship the King. I worship the one who came down here and died for me. When I think about his goodness, it makes me want to shout. Woo! Makes me want to shout hallelujah. Doesn't it make you want to shout? When you think about who he is amazing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart and hath not lifted his soul up to vanity. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. O Jacob, Selah, lift up your voice, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And who shall come in? And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And then the psalmist asked the question a second time, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence with thanksgiving, with honor, with glory, and praise to you. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. But now, Daddy, it's me calling on you again. I can't do this. I can't. You must do this through me. They didn't come to see me. They came to see you, Father. They didn't come to see me. They came to see Jesus. They didn't come to see me. They came to feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Daddy, you never let me down. And I know you won't let me down today. And I'm thanking you in advance. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning, everyone. I guess you can tell by now that I'm a very happy, excited person. And I really get excited when I see beautiful people like you who know and love God and get excited about him too. So we're in each other's company, and that means that we're in good company. Before I get started, there are a couple of people that I do need to thank quickly. You know, my mother always said you should say thank you when people do nice things for you, right? You should be pleasant and you should say thank you. And I would first of all like to thank God for the opportunity to be here. Would it be okay if I press this down, or will it blow up something? So it will be okay. Thank you. The cute little fellow who I would love to have as a son with the cute hair said, thank you, son. I adopt everybody's children. First of all, I want to thank God for being here. I want to thank Dr. Simone Dupree, my friend of many, many, many years, for making the call for me to come. I want to thank Elder Arlene McCoy, who's been my sister, hip to hip, ever since I got here. She drove up in this beautiful vehicle, and she promised I could have it later. Oh, I'm so sorry. I should not have said that. And then I'd also like to thank my brother and my sister, Tyra and Thaddeus. I think we've known each other for at least 15 years. That's to my little sister, my little brother. And he takes such good care of me, too. I was walking around dragging my coat. He comes over to me. He says, give me that coat. I'll go put it away for you. He's that kind of brother. And I just want to thank him for being here. And I want to thank Leticia's grandfather, Is he here today? Where are you? Let me tell you about him. He's trying to make me gain weight. You know what I was eating at 10 o'clock last night? Velvet brownies. At 10 o'clock at night, I was eating. And I kept trying to stop. And I started praying for myself. And that was when I could put them away. Those are the best velvet brownies that I've ever had. And even though I have not met him, I have not seen him, I know that the pastor of this church must be very wonderful. He must be wonderful because he has a congregation like you, and I am seeing all of the wonderful expansion that's going on. And I've heard wonderful things about him from Elder McCoy, and I would like to thank him in his absence for allowing me to stand in his pulpit. That's a big deal for a pastor. My husband's a pastor, and this is their baby. This is their baby spot, and they just won't let anyone stand in it. So I would like to thank him and his lovely wife as well. Thank you so much for inviting me for this Sister Circle weekend. This is a Sister Circle weekend, and it's wonderful. But without the men in the circle, we couldn't have a complete circle, could we? I'd like for every man in here to stand up, and I would like for us to affirm them, ladies. Let all the men stand up, stand up. You know who you are. Give them a big round of applause. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I want you to know that you are much appreciated. You are much loved. You go through a lot in this world, and we want to thank you for that. So you complete our sister circle. Now, the sermon will be for all of us. And I just need to tell you, gentlemen, you are included as well. The theme today is forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's something the world needs much more of, doesn't it? We need more love. We need more forgiveness. We need more reconciliation. We need more compassion. We need to care more for people. We need that very much. So in connection with that theme, the Holy Spirit gave me a message title that I think is lovely. And the message title is, If the Shoe Fits, Wear It. If the shoe fits, wear it. Women wear shoes, men wear shoes. Boys wear shoes, girls wear shoes. If the shoe fits, wear it. What did I say, everybody? If the shoe fits, if the, wear it. All right. Now, we had a beautiful scripture that was beautifully read by Tyra. And this is the second scripture that I would like to share with you as well. And it's found in Ephesians, chapter 4. If you have your devices or your Bibles or whatever, if you would turn to it with me and allow me to just read it in your presence. Okay. Ephesians, do you have it? And I said 4, but I really mean chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 12 through 15. Ephesians 6, 12 through 15. Do you have it? Amen. All right, let me hear you say amen once more. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. And it reads thusly. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what, everybody? Peace. The gospel of peace. Holy Spirit, speak. Speak to us now. Again, the title of the message is, I like that you're with me. If the shoe fits, wear it. Now, can I add another bit of information to it? If it doesn't fit, don't wear it. Get it? Got it? Good. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't fit, don't wear it. You know, as I was researching this particular message, I had no idea in my mind that shoes were mentioned 38 times in the Bible. There are 38 verses in the Bible that deal with shoes. Shoes were used in the Bible to make a lot of illustrations and to describe the events of the time. In fact, to illustrate beauty was conferred on saints, and you can find this in Luke 15:22. And there was a beautiful story of the prodigal son. And guess what? When the prodigal son finally came home, the father was standing there waiting for him. And he says, bring out the best robe. He said, put a ring on his finger. He was giving him back his authority. That's the ring that he used to stamp who he was. And he said, put some shoes on his feet. So shoes were very important. And then, of course, in the Song of Solomon, there is a beautiful illustration or beautiful words that Solomon writes, and he says in these words, how beautiful are your feet in sandals. Ladies, get some pedicures. And then he went on to talk about her hips. I guess she must have been a woman with, you know, hips like some of us. And then the Jews never, ever wore shoes when they were in mourning. That's found in 2 Samuel 15:30. And then Jews would put off their feet when they would enter sacred places. Like, you know, when Moses took off his shoes because the place where he stood was what? Holy ground. And then, of course, Joshua, when he was called, here again, the command was given, take off your shoes for the place where you stand is what? Holy ground. So shoes were very important, and we could talk about more. In fact, I'd like to share with you another beautiful, beautiful story, and this is the beautiful story of Ruth. Remember what happened with Ruth? You know her story. And Ruth, of course, married a kinsman because she had followed her mother-in-law, Naomi. And when she followed Naomi, Naomi hooked her up. She said, my son is gone. And I'm not going to have any more, but I'm going to hook you up, baby girl. And she did just that. She gave her to a man by the name of Boaz. But you know, Boaz rightfully should not have been able to marry her because she was supposed to marry the nearest kinsman. And he was not the nearest. He was after the other kinsman. And so Boaz went to the city gate where they made the transactions, you know. And while at the city gate, he asked the nearest kinsman if he wanted Ruth. And as I read the story, it says that he says, no, I have enough of everything, probably enough women. That's enough. I am going to give you the opportunity to be the one to marry her. And you know what Boaz did? And what did the near kinsman do? He took off his shoe. What did he do? He took off his shoe, and guess what? When he removed his shoe, he gave it to another who was Boaz, and that sealed the deal. In other words, really, technically, Ruth was bought with a shoe. Okay, she was bought with a shoe. But that shoe had value, and shoes do have value. Oh, who can forget the really beautiful, sweet story of Cinderella? You know the story of Cinderella? Cinderella was called Cinderella because she was always in the cinder ashes, and they were making fun of her. She was in the ashes. But guess what? Cinderella became a princess because there was a shoe that could only fit the princess. Remember? And as the prince went throughout the kingdom looking for the love of his life, he showed up at this house, and all the women in the house, the mother and the daughters, their big feet couldn't fit the shoe. And they just couldn't believe it. And somebody said, is there anybody else here? And the wicked step-grandmother, wicked mother said, no. They said, we thought we heard somebody talking. And guess who it was? They said, bring her down. And, of course, you know the story. She came down. They put the glass slipper in front of her, on her feet. You know that story. I hear you. And when she put her foot in that gold, that silver slipper, that glass slipper, what happened? It fit perfectly. Her prince had come. She could wear the shoe. But you know what? The shoe represented more than just her being a princess in the kingdom. The clearness represented her character. She had a clear character. There was nothing to be hidden. She was open, and she was a princess. You know, I love this story because the underdog got the slipper. And if we are faithful, we too will have slippers one day. And guess what? Just as her prince came, one day our prince, the prince of this world, the prince of this life, the prince of this universe is going to come and rescue us. Aren't you looking forward to your prince coming? I'm looking forward to my prince coming. You know, we're talking about shoes today and what they represent. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by their shoes. Did you know that? Can you? You think so? I think so. You can tell if they're cheap. You can tell if they're expensive. You can tell if they're new. You can tell if they're old. You can tell if they're worn out. You can, you know, some shoes actually represent the soul. Did you know that? Are you taking care of the soul? There are soles of shoes, but are you taking care of your soul? Not the S-O-L-E, but your S-O-U-L. Some shoes are uncomfortable. Some shoes are very comfortable. Is your self-esteem high or is your self-esteem low? Are you comfortable with yourself or are you not comfortable with yourself? Do you value your shoes? Do you value yourself? Let me share with you very quickly four types of shoes and how we can relate these to the emotional and the spiritual. Let me start with the very first pair of shoes. And the very first pair of shoes are shoes that are too high. Ever had a pair of shoes that were too high? Or have you ever seen a person in a pair of shoes that are too high? They're so high that they can hardly walk. And what are they doing? They almost fall over. They look very, very chancy. They look like they're going to hurt themselves. They feel tired, and they're always holding on to something or bending over. Have you seen people with shoes that were too high? Or have you ever worn a pair that was too high, and then what you did was take them off and walk barefooted everywhere? That makes sense, does it? You wear them, but you take them off. Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm a woman, so I understand that. So that is the shoe that's too high. Now, here's an application. You are bent over with fear, anxiety, depression, emotional pain, and sin. You hold on to things and people to help you. Much like that person who's trying to hold on to everything because those shoes are too high. Here is the spiritual lesson. Stop trusting and leaning on people. Instead, trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? What does it say? There you go. With trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, here's another shoe for you. The tight shoes. Tight. How many of you have ever worn shoes that were too tight? They make your toes burn, don't they? They make your feet hurt. It makes you feel hurt all, you know, when your feet hurt, you hurt all over. Have you heard that before? men and women. My husband says he's determined he's not going to wear shoes that are too tight for him. Thaddeus said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Men just won't do it. He says if they're tight, I'm not, but we'll wear shoes that are tight. They're uncomfortable, but you like them. You buy them, and you wear them anyway, even though they're too tight. And guess what? They cause you to limp. They cause calluses. They cause corns, ingrown toenails, and bunions that require surgical procedures to remove. But you continue to wear those shoes because you like them, and they're cute, but your feet are in pain. Listen to the application here. How many of you have gotten into a relationship that was too tight? Not right, but you liked them. Young ladies, young men, listen carefully to me. This sermon is for everyone. The relationship was uncomfortable, but you stayed in it anyway, and it caused mental calluses, emotional bunions that had to be removed by dramatic means. You are in pain, and he's fine or cute, and you think you love him or her, but God and you know that it's not a good relationship. Older people that are single and dating, the same is true for you. It's not just a romantic relationship that I'm talking about. There are relationships where there are frenemies and where there are users and where there are abusers. That is too tight. That is uncomfortable. Here is the spiritual application. The corns and calluses also represent sin and cause calluses of pain, suffering, and sorrow. They leave your feet and life scarred and deformed for life. You know what? You have to let go of those tight shoes. You have to let go of those tight relationships. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't fit, don't wear it. The third shoe, cheap shoe. The cheap shoe. The shoe is on sale, is cheap. Nobody wanted them, but they seem like a bargain. The others were gone. They were the only ones left or even returned with dirty bottoms, but they're cheap and they're on sale. Listen to the application. You sell yourself cheap. Do you allow others to make you feel or do or make you feel that you're less than? Are the old tapes playing in your head over and over? You're nothing. You're no good. You're nobody. You will never amount to anything. Are those tapes still in your head? Are they making you feel cheap? Spiritual application, listen carefully. You were bought with a very expensive price. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not," what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." That is the spiritual application for the cheapness that people try to place upon us as individuals. You were bought with a price. Matthew 19, 29 and 31 says, "Even the very hair on your head," or the hair you used to have, "has been numbered." He knows all about it. It talks about those sparrows. You know, sparrows are very interesting birds. We have a lot of birds where I live. And we used to live in another place in Nashville before we went to Ethiopia. And we really had lots of birds there because it was out in the country area. And I noticed in my flower garden one day that there were all color birds. There were bluebirds, and there were the red birds, the red robins. And then there was this little tiny brown plain-looking little thing. It was a sparrow. And you know what? The sparrow flashed around and splashed as if it were as pretty as the rest of the birds. But it wasn't. And it's considered one of the most inexpensive kinds of birds. When they did sacrifices, they bring turtle doves and then they bring the little sparrows. But you know what? We are worth more than sparrows. Did you know that? We're worth more than sparrows. They were cheap and they were sold cheaply. Don't let anyone make you feel cheap. Don't let anyone make you feel that you are not of value. You're not of worth. That is what causes anger and hostility and lack of forgiveness. And then the final shoe is expensive, overpriced shoes. Uh-huh. There are the Jessica Simpsons. Hello. The Calvin Kleins. The Bandolinos. The Michael Kors. The Steve Manns. The Jimmy Choo. Shoe Choo. When I pay $500 or $600 and $700 for a shoe, I would like you to commit me immediately. All of these famous shoes, they sell them based on a name. People feel good when they buy those expensive shoes, even if they got them on sale. It's a Jimmy Choo, or it's a Jessica Simpson, or it's an Edelson, or whatever the case might be. But you know what? The best shoe is the shoe that we put on for the preparation of the gospel. You see, it's not about the LV. It's about the JC. LV might be Louis Vuitton, but we know that JC is Jesus Christ, and that's the shoe that we want to put on our feet. They may be expensive, they may even feel good, but deep down inside, you don't feel good. There is a sadness there. We use our shoes to cover up our feet, and inside is still not being covered. Now, here is an application, and the application is spiritual. First of all, we have, when we talk about these shoes, we have sharp tongues, anger and temper, jealousy, dishonesty, and lack of forgiveness. Even though you're looking good outside, even though the shoe is fitting well, something is being covered up. And those are some of the issues that we carry around. But there is a spiritual application for this shoe as well. Number one, for the sharp tongues. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. You hear people all the time or sometimes say, I just gave them a piece of my mind. That's why you only have a piece of your mind. If you keep giving it away, you're not going to have it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Then there's anger and temper. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Psalm 37:8. It reminds me of the story of an old farmer. He would come to church religiously. He was an old farmer, very plain, didn't care about very much, wear his overalls, went to church, would sit on the front row. Amen, Pastor. Hallelujah. Preacher, Pastor. He was one of the best members in the church. And one day, when the pastor was preaching at his very best, all of a sudden, they heard this noise. Boop, 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 boop. And somebody ran inside of the sanctuary, and it was an ugly, hideous figure. And guess what? Everybody ran out of the church, including the pastor. The only person that sat there was this old gentleman in the overalls with his leg crossed, still shaking it, had his little toothpick in his mouth, old piece of straw or something, and this hideous figure runs over to him. Now, we're talking about anger and temper. We're talking about looking good, but inside there's that anger and that temper. And he walks over to this farmer and he says, don't you know who I am? Old farmer looked at him, looked him up and down and said, yeah, I know who you are. Been living with your sister for 32 years. You'll get it later. Anger and temper makes it difficult for people to live with you. It makes you difficult to live with yourself. Another burden that we carry around is jealousy. Do you know that is a problem? with us as human beings? Jealousy. There is no need to be jealous. What God has given you, no one else can take from you. Do you know that jealousy is as cruel as the grave? That's what the Bible says. It says the coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Jealousy is like fire. It burns. It burns people. It burns relationships. It burns success. It burns up everything that God can give to you. You don't have to be jealous. No one can have your smile. No one can do what God called you to do. What you can do is make yourself better and better for Him by studying the Word, by praying, by fasting, by being compassionate, by being forgiving. That is how you grow. That is how you develop. That is how you learn to forgive and to reconcile with others. A story is told about two people in a hospital room, and one person could see and the other person could not. But the one person was describing to the other person everything that was happening outside, and the person that was listening to it was so jealous. He said, "I wish he would die so I can get to that window and see everything." And guess what? The man got sick. He wouldn't call anybody in to help him, and he died. And the man that was listening to him described the beauty of outdoors. They took him away, and he said, "Good, now I can sit and look out of the window." Well, when he got there, guess what? It was a brick wall. It was a brick wall. The man had been describing out of his imagination what was beautiful, the birds and the bees and the air and so forth and so on. Jealousy is like a brick wall. You run into it and you hurt yourself. And then there's dishonesty, another issue we carry around. Still talking about shoes and talking about shoes that actually feel good, but we don't feel good inside. Cheating, stealing, where you don't give God what you owe Him. In my Sabbath school class this morning, and I'm going to call them the Saints because I like that name, Saints. We talked about giving God what is His. When you take what God required you to give, you are stealing Him. You are stealing from Him. You're living in stolen houses. You're wearing stolen clothing. You're driving stolen cars because you haven't given God what belongs to Him. If you don't tithe, you are stealing from God. And you look good outside, but inside you are a thief. Oh, and by the way, stop bringing home those pens and pencils and paper clips from work. Hello. They do not belong to you. They belong to the company. And that brings baggage. You are stealing and you can't move. And finally, here is the big one. Another spiritual application, which is what we're here to talk about today. And that is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. There are three people. How many? Put your fingers up. Put your fingers up. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. Come on, I'm a teacher. I like to get some interaction here. I want to hear you talking. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. There are three key people that you need to forgive. And I want you to remember this because we're talking about forgiveness and reconciliation. The first one that you need to forgive is God. Are you shocked? Are you surprised? Can you believe I said that? Do you know that some of you haven't forgiven God for something that happened to you, even if you caused it? Well, God, if it hadn't been for you, it would have never happened. But you went on about your way. You decided that you wanted to do it. You have to forgive God. You know, I was very angry with God for a while. In fact, we had just arrived in Ethiopia. And when we arrived in Ethiopia, my father had just passed away. And talking about angry, I was so very angry. And one day I remember when my husband was away, he was gone to a meeting. Thank you, Thaddeus. Like I told you, gonna take care. Jesus, my husband, and Thaddeus, thank you. I was just wailing and weeping and crying. It had just been a few weeks, and he was gone, and I was there by myself, and I didn't speak Amharic, the language, all my Ethiopian brothers and sisters, and I didn't know anybody, and I was just crying and weeping and weeping and weeping, and all of a sudden I said, God, why did you take my daddy away? How could you? He was such a good man. He gave to the poor. He took care of us. He took me to school every day of my life. When I went to first grade, he took me to school. When I went to middle school, he took me to school. When I went to high school, he took me to high school. When I went to college, he took me to college. He took me to, when I went to get my master's degree, he went to school with me. He was sick when I got my doctorate, so he couldn't, but if he could have, he would have. And I said, and you know, God, he would have been over here with me right now. He would have bought me. Of course, my mother was there. She said, you know, sweetie, if your dad were here, he'd take you to Ethiopia. But he's not here, so I'm going to take you to your husband. Because my husband had gone on before me. I was so angry that day. I was so angry. And I said, God, I can't believe you did this to me. And all of a sudden, I felt fear come over me. And I said, how dare I talk to God like that? How dare I say I'm angry with you and put my finger in his face? That's not even me. I don't feel that kind of rage. I don't feel that kind of anger. But you know what? Just as surely as you are sitting here right now, a voice said to me, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm glad you liked the gift of the Father that I gave you. I'm glad. Can you believe that? He said, I'm glad you loved and liked the gift of the Father that I gave you. He said, he's not here now, but guess what? I am your real father. In fact, I write about it in my book, and it's entitled, My Real Father. He is our Father. And you know what? He forgave me for feeling that anger and that hurt and that pain. And you know what? We don't forgive people. Sometimes people say things to us that they don't really mean, and they try to apologize later, and what do? Oh, but it really hurt. Oh, but you said, and it was so ugly. We have said ugly things to God. We have blamed him for things that are not true, but he forgave me. And you know who the second person is that you need to forgive? Who said it? Yourself. You've got to forgive yourself. We carry around these old sins, these old burdens, these old things that happened 1900 years ago. Let it go. What did I say, everybody? Let it go. All of your sins have been cast into the sea, never more to be remembered. So why are you continually remembering them? Why do you keep asking God to forgive you for the same thing over and over and over? Let it go. Let God. There was a priest that told this lady, if you tell me all my sins, I'll join your church. And the lady went and prayed and came back. And she said, I have an answer for you about your sins. And he said, what is it? And she said, I asked God to tell me. And when I asked God, he said, I don't know. I forgot all of his sins. And that's how it is with us. God forgives all of our sins. He doesn't, in fact, the Bible says that he turns and he throws them behind his back. Now, why do you go back looking for them? But you see, that causes anger, that causes hostility, and that causes hurt and pain. And finally, who is the third person that you need to forgive? Who would that be? Others. You need to forgive others. Christ forgives us. We must forgive others. You know, the text in the Bible in Matthew, where he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who do what? Trespass against us. And I looked up the word trespass, and it says it's when somebody does something horrible against you. That's easier said than done, but it is certainly possible to forgive those persons. Remember the story of the debtor? Remember? You know, Peter said, you know, should we forgive, and you know, people 7 times 7? And God said, oh no, forgive them 70 times 70. More than that. And more than that. And more than that. And then he began to tell them the story of the debtor. You know, he owed a lot of money to the king, and the king was going to put him in prison until he paid it. And he pleaded and pleaded, and the king had compassion and heard him and said, okay, I wipe your debt clean. Wouldn't it be nice if you could wipe your car note and your house note and everything, your credit card, just clean? Well, that's what he did for him. And then he went out and found somebody that owed him some money. And he was compassionate, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. He went and he told that person that they were going to die if they didn't pay him his money. And the other servant saw it and felt bad about it and went and told the king. And the king said, you evil devil, you. That's in essence what he said. I forgave you, and I forgave you for millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And you went and mistreated someone for a few bucks. Can you imagine that? So we have to learn to forgive others. Reconciliation, forgiveness, very important. Harvard University doctors have told us, if we don't forgive and forget, we get sick. Those with heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of diseases, you're bottling it up. You're bottling up no health. And what is happening is that you are getting sick from it. But you know, one day it's going to all be over. Every bit of it. You know, there's some people that don't have shoes. There's some people that don't have feet to put on shoes. One day we won't have to worry about any of this. But you know, now is the time for us to be forgiving and to accept forgiveness. Don't you know there are some people that won't accept forgiveness? No, I can't forgive you. You've ever seen that? This person gets up their nerves and they say, please forgive me. And this person goes, I don't know, it really hurt me. Of course they know it hurt you. That's why they're confessing. And it takes a lot of courage. Now is the time to ask for forgiveness. Today, somebody in here needs to call someone. Today, somebody needs to visit someone. Today, somebody needs to write a letter. Today, somebody needs to go to somebody in this church. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I don't know if that's even the case, but the Holy Spirit just said it. Somebody in here needs to reconcile. Somebody needs to let go of hatred. Somebody in here needs to let go of unkindness. Someone in here needs to let go of lack of compassion. That's why the Holy Spirit brought me here to tell you that you cannot get to heaven and live separately down here and live together up there. It can't happen. It's not real. That's not a reality. How can I love God when I hate my brother? How can I love God when I hate my sister? How can I love God when I say unkind, cruel things about them behind their backs and sometimes in their faces? All of that must come to an end. I don't know if you have it here, but you do have this day of reconciliation and forgiveness. So those that are listening online, hi, Mom. Hi, Rosalind. We are all in this together. We all must let it go. One day it's going to end. You know, when Jesus came the first time, he came as a baby, didn't he? But the second time when he comes, he's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time that he came, he actually came and they put an old purple robe on him. But the next time he comes, the Bible says he's going to have on a white robe that's whiter than Fuller's soap. You know, the first time he came, they put a crown of thorns on his head. Yes. But the second time when he comes, he's going to wear many crowns. The first time he came, he rode on a donkey because that meant that he was coming peacefully into the city. But the second time when he comes, he's going to ride on a white horse. And that white horse represents him coming to end sin, to end hatred, to end jealousy, to end temper, to end anything that cannot be taken into the courts of heaven. One day we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. Do you want to see him? Do you want to see him face to face in all of his glory? I want to see him. I'm going to forgive. I make it a conscious effort. I don't hold on to it. I actually let it go. Grudges, they will kill you. You'll be dead, and the person you hate may or may not come to your funeral. May come by, look down on you, and just not even think about it. We shall behold him.
And we shall behold him then face to face. Oh, we shall behold. Yes, we shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. Oh, we shall behold. Yes, we shall behold him face to face. Our Savior and Lord,
listen.
Shout of his coming. sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place. And those who remain shall, oh, we shall be changed.
Behold him. Stand up. Stand up. And I want you to repeat after me. I want you to become a people of forgiveness, a people of reconciliation. But if you don't feel good about you, you can't feel good about anybody else. I'm asking God to heal all of us right now. And I want you to speak these words over yourself daily. Can I have that face back up there with those words? And I want you to repeat after me with gusto. With what, everybody? Gusto. Come on, practice. Gusto. You know what gusto is? Energy. Repeat after me. Speak life and declare it over your life daily. I am courageous. You sound it, but you don't look it. I am courageous. Really? That really scared the devil. Come on, I am courageous. Now you sound like Lakeview. I am unstoppable. I am victorious. I am love. I am loved. I am blessed. I am gifted. I am anointed. I am successful. I am healed. Somebody needs to say it in here again. I am healed. Yes, I am healthy. I am beautiful. Men, you're beautiful too. Come on, everybody all together, men and women. I am beautiful. I am whole. I am confident. I am forgiving. Okay, let's do that one more time because that's the crux of the whole matter. And I want you to hold that forgiving too. You can do it. You can do it. Right. Get your breath. Come on, get your breath together. Come on, put it in. You got it in? All right, I am forgiving, and then I'll cut you off. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4. I am forgiving. Oh, I like that. I am grateful. I am generous. I am strong. I am favored. I am able. I am powerful. I am fruitful. I am reconciled. I will forgive. I will accept forgiveness. I will forgive myself. Come on, point to yourself. Don't point to me, because I'm forgiving myself. Come on, I will forgive myself. I will forgive God. And I will pray. Come on, I will pray. That's right. And I will forgive others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as your children are standing before you, they have made a declaration of all of these I ams, but we know you are the great I am. And you would make it possible for them to do everything that they have said. Someone here is suffering from an illness, heal them, Lord. Someone in here has old tapes in their head, heal them, Lord. Someone in here has a problem with anger and temper, heal them, Lord. Someone in here is unforgiving and holds grudges, and they say it's by nature, but it's not. That's the nature of the demonic devil, the evil one. Father, please, in the name of Jesus, let us walk out of here never, ever, ever the same again. Let us be a changed people. And when others see us, may they say something is different about you. And may it be because we've been with you. And we've let go of all of that heavy baggage of hatred and suffering and sin and sadness and sorrow. Oh, God, bless us. Keep us. In the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer. Amen. And God bless you.
I'm going to invite you to just keep standing as we sing our closing hymn, Joy to the World. Joy to the world,
the Lord is come.
Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Who rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. And we praise your name. We bless you. And may the Lord watch between you and us when we're absent one from another. Amen.